All right. Welcome. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. We are delighted to have you with us today. If you are visiting with us today, we appreciate you and God bless you. Thank you for coming. And you picked a great Sunday to be here. I tell you, we have a guest speaker this hour and Fassel John. For those of you that don't know, Fassel and Carrie have been dear friends to us for many, many years, going back to 2012, the first time we met him. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, if you ever just meet somebody and on the first time you meet them, it feels like you've known them all your life. It just feels like, and this was me with when I first met Fassel, and which was really amazing because he didn't speak a whole lot of English back in those days, right? And yet, he's a born again believer, called to be a pastor. He loves the Word of God, and we had such a like mindedness and a harmonious spirit right from the very beginning. And we had so many people in common and fellow pastors that we knew, Gene Cunningham and others. I mean, obviously, even though he was born in Pakistan and I was born in Seattle, and we couldn't be more different in human terms. But in Christ, we were just like-minded beyond anything I could describe. So, yeah, he's been here several times, but it's been a while now. This is, I think, his ninth time to speak here since 2012, but not since 2019. So that goes back to pre-COVID, and it's been a while. So I've asked him if he would give a more complete report. In fact, I'm giving him the entire hour. Also, if you regularly get the newsletters from VMI, are you familiar with these? This month, for the July issue, you open up the first page, and you'll see Fassel's picture there. It's foundations in Pakistan and a conference that was held there. Also, this is an issue you don't want to lose track of, because towards the back is a memorial for Ralph LaRosa. And so this is definitely going to be a collector's item VMI newsletter for years to come. But anyway, so look out in the mail for those. If you haven't gotten yours yet, we appreciate that. All right, well, Fassel, please come and bring us the word.
Ed, wow. Can you hear me? Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, sir, again for a gracious opportunity to be back with the family. And it's been 4 years, but I'm glad to be back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Before we begin and learn what God is doing in Pakistan, I always ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help me and also help you, because until we are in the presence of the Lord, English is going to be my second language. So I always need help through the God, the Holy Spirit, to communicate what He has prepared for all of us. So let's approach the throne of grace grace with boldness. So let's pray. Father, thank you for everything, for all the provision, for your written word, for your living word, and coming to live in us. And thank you, Father, for your spirit. So, Father, I pray that guide my mind and my soul and my words and all the treasure of vocabulary that need to be communicated for the people that you have put before this moment. Your body. Thank you, Father, for Austin Bible Church. And Father, bless our time together. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is beautiful, and we have so many trials and testimony and tests and all many other things. So I just want to share what is going on in Pakistan. I was there almost over 2 months and got back on May 10th, and then getting ready to travel in the U.S. So after May, I was in the U.S. So I had a Texas youth camp, which was fruitful, and then a lot of other conferences. So I will fill in everything that has been happening from past 2 or 3 months. So I want to share what is going on in Pakistan. The picture that you see on the film projector, that cross is on Grace Bible Church in Pakistan. Recently, when we finished the building in Pakistan, and it was like a common building, and I talked to the whole church board in Pakistan, the whole team, and I said, you know, something is missing, and that should be there. And they said, what is that? I said, the cross. Because our main passage is the message of the cross is a foolishness to those who do not believe. To us is the very power of God that had redeemed us. They said, it's risky. I said, yeah, why not? Life is all about risk. Why not take a risk? They said, we can do that. So we put the cross together and put on the top of the church, which is almost over 120 feet high. You can see from the bus station when anybody come in the city. And they said, it's going to be target. I said, why not? If that is God's will and God want us to have the cross, let's do it. And if we survive the first 12 hours, nobody's going to take that down. They said, okay. So we put the cross and it is still there. It's been over a year. And that's the cross that at night when turn the light on and it glow. People can see from far and they know that that is the place where the church and the people who believe in Jesus live. So here you go, another photo that is the evening. Recently we took it and that's how it's in the evening. And it is a beautiful message for the community. We want them to know who we are and what our faith and why we are there. So I want to share what God is doing in Pakistan. And that is the congregation started with only two families. And it is growing, and that is the Grace Bible Church, our recent service that I did before I came back to USA. People are hungry, people are desperate, people are looking for answers. And we have the answers of life for today and for eternity. So church is growing in Pakistan. Recently somebody asked me, they said, how is the church doing in Pakistan? I said, terrible. It's so much growth happening, we can't keep up. I think we're going to shut down all the churches. He said, why? I said, too much persecution bring too much growth. And for a minute, he was like, almost I caught him and he said, oh, now I got it. I said, the church is growing. The growth is happening in Pakistan, in India, and many other places. So this is the Grace Bible Church congregation on Resurrection Sunday when I was teaching. So a lot of great things happening. And I want to say thank you, Pastor Bob, and all y'all for your prayer. God is answering all y'all's prayer. And He is faithful. And beside the growth happening in church, new babies coming and new people coming, a lot of great things happening with the teaching. And as a pastor, I recognize not only the flock that I have there as a responsibility, there's so many other peoples that need to hear the word of God. What has been given to me, I want to share with others. So I've been doing a lot of conferences, and that was the recent conference I did from the Gospel of John, Shepherd or Thief. That was particularly for the pastors in Pakistan. A lot of people can't afford to go to join the conference and pay money, and I said, we have a solution. So we put all our conferences free of charge. I said, our grace policy is the five words from the Jesus mouth when he sent his disciple in Matthew chapter 10. He says, freely you receive and freely you give. So we've been doing a lot of conferences, and that was a focus on teaching the shepherds. So that's why I asked the question, shepherd or thief? So we went through the whole book of the Gospel of John, and my focus was to go through each chapter. And I was sharing with Brother Dan and Brother Pastor Bob Bollander about what I did. And it was a focus on to encouraged the pastors on three words about ethos, pathos, and logos, that pastor have to have this quality of character, because everybody look for character. If you don't have a character, nobody will believe you. And that is the integrity of a man of God or a servant of Jesus Christ. So we were focusing on that, and then the pathos, you have to have a compassion for the sheep. That's what Jesus said when he saw a big crowd. He said, they are sheep without a shepherd, and he moved with a great compassion, and after that he sent out his disciple, and he said, the harvest is great, but the labors are not much. And then we deal with the logos, that is the most important, that you know what you are talking about. So that was the three areas we did the Gospel of John, and all the pastor was so blessed to hear that we have a shepherd who cared for us, who came not to destroy but gave us life abundantly. And it is a big responsibility of any shepherd, not just only in Pakistan, but anywhere. So I've been doing a lot of conferences, and it's been very fruitful. And I want to share a couple of pictures from the conference. And we had a 2 days conference, and pastors was happy, hungry, so they stay overnight. And we went first night from like 3 p.m. all the way almost to 12 p.m. And it was a wonderful fellowship. And next day they woke up again, and then we had the final day. And these are the pastors was there, and now they are going back into their communities and teaching the Gospel of John. All the notes was given to them. It was a blessing. And they are very, very grateful for what God is doing in their life through in their congregations. And the Christmas care package, you know, we have Christmas news every day that Christ is the one who lead us to have a perfect relationship with God himself. So this year we did a Christmas care package, and our topic was from Psalms 23. So we did the coloring book and did many other things, and we were teaching the children. And this year we had over 1,800 children reached all over in Pakistan. And it was a blessing that children took not only American pure sugar, they call the lollipop or dum-dum, but they took many other things and the coloring book, and they were learning, and we are still sending people or in connection with people, and they are learning Psalms 23 in such a beautiful way and memorizing. So that was our theme of the year, and we had a beautiful time, and we brought something from the USA. It was like the whole Psalms 23 to have a sticky note and learn a Bible passage. I had a big staff from the old man, and he said, you need to have a staff. I said, that looked like more like interrogating somebody. And so I took the photo with the children. They were very happy. So the children program was very, very successful. So many children receive a great blessing, and especially learn. Not only David knew the Lord is my shepherd, so many had a personal relationship to know that he is my shepherd, which means many, many children accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. So the children ministry is growing, and that was the couple of pictures from that. And we are grateful again. Many of you take interest and send your barbecue money over there, and that barbecue money made somebody a special aroma of Christ to their family. The outreach is just mind-boggling. This gentleman, as you can see in the photo, for 65 years, was waiting for someone to share the gospel. Finally heard, became a believer, and I had a privilege to baptize him. And he said, before I die, I want to obey the commands of Jesus. So he was baptized, and he understood the gospel. And I explained him what took place the moment that you believe in Jesus inside. Now you are declaring to all the angelic realm, all the people that are there, that whom you belong to and what is your faith in. So outreach is going great, and since last time we met, God has been so gracious. Now, some places in Pakistan, they called me Bishop. I said, do I need to wear rope? And I said, why would you call me Bishop? Because now we have 8 more churches. I did the seminary course for 3.5 years, and people got graduated. So that is one of them, Pastor, that we are going to build him a new church building because the congregation is growing. He's going to the different brick hymns, going to different villages. People are just so hungry, and they are looking for hope. And he is leading many. And you will see, maybe if we have a time, I will share the video that I did 34 baptism in that area in one day. And you will see how fast I'm doing. So it will be fun. So the outreach is great. Ministry happening because people are desperate, as they are seeing the signs of the end time, and people are looking for hope, the glorious hope, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the street, another pastor, he's also graduated, and he have a church going on, so he goes to the village, and he simply, you know, carrying the Bible, and people will say, what is that? And then he can share. And sometime use a funny phrase, I'm glad you ask. And people ask, and then he share messages, and many, many people have accepted Christ. And with the food shortage in Pakistan, as you heard, a lot of flood victim was there, so God been opening door for us to go to so many places. That's a one of them family that he lost his leg and had no means to do anything. So we found out, and we went there and helped the family, and we are continually helping people like him and people, a tribe called the Marwadi. Marwadi tribe is the low class or the left behind people from India. They are still there in small pockets, living on farms or working for different peoples. So when the flood happened, and it was almost 70% of the country was underwater, it was crisis moment. A lot of doors open, and as we were going through the Gospel of John, I said, we do not want to deny that Jesus Christ, not only the light of the world, but he also is the bread of life. So I was doing that, during that time, all the places that Jesus went, and he had a party. Any place, even the Pharisees or the sinners or any lawyer or anybody had question, he went, he had a party. He was having a lot of food with people. So I said, he not only provide physical food, but physical food is the meaning of a spiritual food to lead him. So we start doing the distribution called the bread of life. And a lot of doors opened up, and those are different villages. We went and helped people. And again, I am very grateful for the body of Christ through simple 1 month ration can change somebody eternity forever. Because people were hungry and lonely, desperate, there was nothing. This is one of them, our contact. He's been coming to conference, and he will travel for 48 hours. either by bus or by train, and takes time to come from all the way to the Sindh region. He will come, and he's been coming to the conferences, and he go back to his village, and he told us 45 houses was burned, and they had nothing, no food. Over above, also the flood happened, and he said, people are helpless, and nobody's helping. Will you do something? I said, sure. God is a God of grace, and we do not want to miss the opportunity. So he's been doing, these are a couple of pictures that he sent us. People lost whatever the hay house they had. And he just with them and was sharing the photos, and he said, they are hungry. What can you do? I said, what you want us to do. So we send him the money, and these are Indian tribe people that are left behind, called the Marwadi people. And they've been receiving Christ and becoming a follower of Jesus and born again believers. So that is their dressing. Whenever they are the young ladies, they never show their face, and that is their dressing or part of their jewelry. And they live in deserts and many other places. So God has been faithful through simple, a faithful man like him, opening doors, and that is our outreach going on by simply sharing a meal with people. These are just faces that remind me that God loves and Christ died for them. And often we look at people and we will say, oh, look at this rugged person. Recently, I remember Brother Gene, Pastor Gene was talking, and he made a statement, and somebody says, this person look like to me is a discipleship material. And he quoted a passage from 2 Corinthians 5:14 that Christ died for all, and we should not call anybody as a common because he paid the price. So there's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering currently going on in Pakistan, but the love of Christ can change a lot. These are the flood victims, lost everything, but the grace of God is multiply. And people are grateful for the body of Christ in the USA. And they often pray. They said, Father, we will never be able to go to USA, but let the U.S. Christians stand strong. If they go down, a lot of people gonna suffer. So they're praying every day for the U.S., especially for the Christian community. A lot of joyful noise happening. Another older man, and he was very happy, and he said, I'm a farmer, and I wanna get into before I die. So he's been a believer but never got baptized. So Pastor Pervez, the assistant, and the elder, Eunice, you can see both of them, they went and they baptized him, and it was a blessing and joyful moment to see what God is doing in that village. This is the village that where we started the Safe Haven project. For now we have, I believe, over 3 acres, and we soon gonna start putting some chicken coops or some homes for the people who can't go anywhere, so they can be there living and educating their kids and learn about Jesus Christ and be safe. This man heard for 3.5 years online ministry is going crazy. I often say thank you God for COVID. And a lot of people say, why? I say, you know, COVID brought a lot of things in real life. It was meant for evil, and God even used for all the evil attention for good. Especially for me, I was like, the churches were shutting down, everything was down, and I started online ministry. And only cost me $5 in Pakistan to have a 1 month package, and I became a mega church for $5. Now I have on WhatsApp over 200 groups. Each group can contain 256 members. So I have a 200 groups plus. Somebody says, you need to get on a TikTok and this and that and the security. I said, I'm already there. You can't kill the dead man. He's already dead. So I said, God is going to prevent everything. So I got on those accounts, and now I have thousands of people listening and a cost from my home, either Pakistan or U.S. or in any hotel, $5 a month to run a mega church. God bless. God bless for that. And this man came and he's been listening from past 2 or 3 years, and he said, I want to come, and he got baptized, and it was a blessing to see how God just using a technology and every circumstance. The Bible distribution, I told the story, when I became a believer by the age of 16, I did not have my Bible. I borrowed my first Bible for 6 months, and then it was taken away. And I realized how many more facets are in Pakistan and many other places that don't have Bible as their own possession. So I got involved in the business called Bible smuggling. I said, that's a good title to earn. I said, by the age of 12 and 14, I was a mule for my father running drugs on my belly, and I was so faithful to my father. I'm never going to give up his name to when I get caught. I said, how much more I should be faithful to my Heavenly Father. I said, that's a beautiful thing. A drug runner become a Bible smuggler. How about that? So I've been doing a lot of Bible distribution in Pakistan. People are just amazed. This particular woman, she waited to have her own Bible for almost over 50 years. And we went there, and I just kept her photo as she was looking through the book of Acts in the Urdu language. It reminded me, she don't have to borrow anymore. She have her own possession. So a lot of Bible distribution happening, and we just yesterday, not only the food shortages happening in Pakistan, Bible shortage. So recently we found out somebody had Bibles, so we bought over 550 Bibles until, we runs out again. So praise God for those funds that God provided. And then the youth seminar I did on not only for the children, but also did the youth seminar, A Journey from Sheep to Become a Shepherd. I called the Shepherd Conference on Psalms 23. It was a beautiful study we did. A lot of young men and young women came to the conference. We went different places, and I was teaching. First, I was sharing with Pastor Bob that I found 16 Hebrew names of God in Psalms 23, only 6 verses. Plus, they have a very beautiful connection with the 7 I Am of Jesus in the New Testament. And also, it's like a little catalog. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Catalog of David's life from his childhood to all the way to eternity. Where he starts, the Lord is my shepherd, and then he ends, live in his house forever and ever. It's a beautiful journey from a sheep to become a shepherd, and the shepherd become a king, and then many, many beautiful thing that is in Psalms 23. And Psalm 23, probably your most favorite, because it's the favorite Psalms in the entire world. Anywhere you go and ask people, what is your favorite Psalms? Out of 199%, people will say Psalms 23. When I'm scared, when I'm hopeless, when somebody dies, when I am comfortable, when I'm going through the valley of shadow of doubts and death and everything, He is with me. So Psalms 23 journey was a beautiful. And young men's and young women's coming from all over again, being a young age of 16, become a believer, borrowing a Bible, and there was nobody to teach. And Bible was the only my commentary, my dictionary, my lexicon, my everything. I had nothing else. And I said, Lord, there's again so many people like me who do not have the resources that you given to me. So I start doing the youth conferences, and it's been very successful. That was a recent conference. Over 450 young men and women showed up. And I finished the conference. It was a two-day conference. And I come back, and they said, you have to come back again. I said, what happened? Did I say something that made anybody mad? They said, no. Over 20 people received Christ, and they said, we want also to be baptized. So I went back again and did the baptism. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience going through the Psalms 23. Tent meetings, there's a lot of tent meetings I'm doing. This one don't have a tent because it was too hot, so we have to take the tent out. So these are the evening meetings we were doing in different places, and we invite not only Christian but from many different people and come together and share a testimony. And I was sharing my testimony. I said, you know, my father was the firstborn. I was the firstborn. His father was the firstborn. And every firstborn was dedicated to worship Hindu gods, worship Satan, to become the next witch doctor. Thank God that I was invited, and by the age of 16, John 14:6 changed my life when I heard that Jesus Christ is the only way and the truth and life. No one. De nada. No one. No one can bring you in a perfect relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I heard, it changed my life, and I had a privilege to lead my father to Christ, and then my mother and four brothers, and now they're all serving in Pakistan. And to God be the glory. Glorious Dios. I'm learning. Yeah, so these are the tent meeting, a lot of people are also, we are doing some like a mini crusades. God has been allowing, so we can only do that in the communities, and people from everywhere come. Some come for healing, some come for demonic thing and this and that, and we are there to share the gospel. A lot of people get saved, a lot of people receive answers and reconnected with people. It's just a beautiful to just put a big meeting, and a lot of people from different places come. I had an incident. There was a lady from our lost cousins who are mad with us. And one lady came and she said, I've been to all the magic men's. And I've been having experience. My daughter is sick. I am sick. Whenever I open my book, I am seeing writings and demonic faces and this and that. And I went to all the magic men that I can paid. It reminded me the story of the lady that was 12 years bleeding, and she spent all the money and nobody can cure her. She said, I have heard, and she came and she said, you are a holy man. I said, I'm not. Ask my wife. She was kissing my hands. I said, I'm not holy, but I know who is. I'm not a healer, but I know who can. And it will take a simple decision. She said, I went to Magic Man, and they said, only Christian pastor can help you because they have more power. That's how she said it. I said, we do not have a power. We know who is a powerful. So end up leading her to Christ, accepting, and within a week, all the problem was gone, and she said, to Jesus be the glory. God is doing just amazing way, work over there, and He's the only one can be credited. As a community, a lot of people can't afford to go to school, so with the Books for Bricks, another lady, our dear sister, Patty Smith, she went to Pakistan and she had a heart to start schools over there. So now we have over 8 schools, I believe, going on in different villages. They are learning not only how to read and write, but also learning how to, you know, learn the Bible. And we've been sharing the words. So these are several pictures of that program going on called Books for Bricks. So it's a beautiful ministry. And that is a picture I purposely put. I put one message on John 3:16 mixed with English and Urdu purposely, and it went viral. And I found, and people shared with me, they said, "You are on TV." I said, "I didn't pay anybody." They said, "No, you are on TV," and they were sending me the video. Again, that $5 package made a great impact, and so many people, like there's a 3 or 4 satellite TVs in Pakistan, and the ministry, online ministry, is booming. The business is good. It's saving souls. So I was sharing John 3:16, so that was the main, what is called the thumbnail for the message, and a lot of people were blessed. So a lot of great things happening in Pakistan, and beside Pakistan, God has opened door for me. Anytime I come back, I go and do a lot of youth camps here. A lot of ministry work. Last month, I was in Texas, but I was in Wiley, Texas, doing a youth camp with Pastor Herman Maddox Church from the Liberty Youth Camp. So we had a wonderful time. Over 74 children was there. 4 decided to be baptized. The theme was abiding in Christ. It was a beautiful, beautiful time to worship and share the word and talk about what does mean to abide in Christ. I asked the question to the young ladies and young teenagers. I said, "Do you love Jesus?" They said, "A lot." I said, "My following question, what is your a lot look like?" They were all quiet. I said, "If you can define your a lot, which means that a lot is nothing." I said, another question, I said, "What was the last time you date Jesus?" "Oh, we date each other, but never dated Jesus." I said, "Then you need to start dating Jesus. According to John, he said, 'Abide in me and I in you.' It's a perfect, beautiful relationship to have a beautiful fellowship with your Lord." And I call that, in a neckrod term in Texas, dating Jesus. So it was a beautiful study, and I was sharing 5 steps with them. So I put it together. I will throw just briefly the spiritual stair of Christian life. And fundamentally, there's only 2 possible attitudes in life. And I was sharing as the attitude. And there's only 2 kind, either humility or arrogant. And I was sharing with them, and I give them the passage. James talked about that God opposed the arrogant and gave the greatest grace to the humble. So I said, we only can have a 2 kind of attitude at a time. We cannot be having a 2 attitude and 24 times, so we can be either humble or arrogant. Choices are. And when our attitude is right, our priority is right. I said, everybody likes to be on a priority line. How about your priority with Jesus? So I said, there's only 2 kind of priorities, spiritual or carnal. We can make a choice to live as a carnal or fill with the Spirit, to walk by means of the Spirit. And that is a choice, and that is a priority. As Paul says, I'm talking to you as a baby with a big doo-doo pampers. You have a pamper. You are carnal. You're not spiritual right now. So I call that, you know, big doo-doo pamper in a Corinthian church. Sometimes we do have a pamper that is a full of doo-doo because when we walk in a carnal way of life. So our priority, spiritual or carnal, and priority lead to decision. Our decision can be on two kinds, wise or foolish. So I share some passages. Walk not as a fool, but as a wise. Ephesians 5:15 talk about, and Galatians 3:3 talks about, do not become a fool. That you have begun with the Spirit and now you want to end with flesh. So decision leads to action, and there's only two kind of actions, right or wrong. There's no middle ground, I'm righty and wrongy. No, it is right or wrong. And we live in those action. When we make wrong action, we have a wrong result. So I mentioned some passages, Proverbs 16:32 and Romans 12:21. And action leads to result. And the result can be a blessing and cursing. So I said, this is our daily five steps we can surround ourselves and just focus on, see where we are. And I said, there's so much in those five steps, attitude, priority, decision, action, result. And I said, this is, I'm not going to share, but I will just have it. So the book, in one word, I said, I will look at the book in one word. That's the book of Job, is all about the attitude. If you want to summarize the book of Job, attitude. Either Job attitude or Job's wife attitude or Job's friend's attitude or what was God's attitude towards everybody. So the book of Job is all about the attitude. Because your attitude determined by your gratitude, and your gratitude will determine how high you will fly. So should I say, gratitude determine attitude, attitude determine altitude, how high you will fly in a spiritual life. So the book of Job is all about attitude. The book of Psalm is all about priority. 150 Psalms is all about priority, whom you will worship, yourself, the world, or all the goddess. And I believe the book of Psalm is all about worship, how to live in close relationship with Jesus Christ and God of universe. And that's the book of priority. I call one word summary of Psalms, 150 priorities, spiritual or carnal. And then the book of Proverbs teach us how to have a relationship with the shepherd, and it's all about decision. There's a two kind of decision. The whole book of Proverbs is all about decision-making factory. It is a place where we learn. And book of Proverbs can be summarized with one word, decision. Subtitle, foolish or wise. And then the book of Ecclesiastes is all about action. Vanity, vanity, spiritual life or fruitless life. How we are going to run our race. So the book of Ecclesiastes is summarized with one word, action. In my understanding, everybody can study and you can come up with all your way the God, the Holy Spirit teach you. And then the Song of Solomon, result. How much do you love Jesus? Result. How many times, weekly basis, that you date Jesus? And it's all about love. You can love the Creator or you can love the creation. And the result is upon everybody and decision. I had some notes was listed here. I don't know if I have it. That's why I'm human. So these are the things I was sharing with the people, and I felt that I should share because this is what's going on and how God is doing things everywhere. And I was telling Carrie, you know, it's all about when we choose a cross, Jesus will have his rightful place to be throne, sit on the throne. When we choose a throne as a selfish and self-focused person, he will say, I will choose the cross. So it's all about Jesus, and only two possible attitude in life, right or wrong, and everything else. So our 316 children home is growing. We having more children. So recently we rescue a girl that was a 14 years old being married off to over 45 years old. She was sold for $500. And we found out, so we rescue her. And also she had three siblings. So now those three siblings are going to be in the 316 children home. So last time we were there, we celebrated, I think, 16 or 18 birthday together. So that was one of them picture I like to share. All y'all who've been praying for 316, so it's been growing. Children are getting bigger, chubbier, cuter. Some are losing their teeth, and some of them getting more lice, so we have to shave their head. These are the four children that will be coming. You can keep them. That's from one of them church in distant. And father dead, mother left the children, and they were living with the grandmother, and she could not do anything. So we decided to bring, we offered them, we will bring all four of them, and they can be together. So hopefully by the end of this next week, they will be there. So pray for these four brothers and sister. I think it's one brother and three sisters. So pray for them. God has been opening a lot of doors through 316 children home in Pakistan. I just want to be a cowboy. So that was our last group, Texas camp. So I never had the cowboy hat, so I got the cowboy hat. It was a good, cheap one, the Rancher collection. So it was fun, and I just shared this photo. And then the four children got baptized over the camp over there in Pakistan. And some of them we were having, they chose me, they said, we want you to be in your team. So I became a leader of my team, and I was inspiring them, pushing them, using passages. So it was good. My team was the smallest team, but we kept our record winning for 2 days, and then I have to teach online. We lost that day. And next day we had a call, Hebrew 12 competition, run the race. So it was 8 or 9 obstacle, and person like me getting old, so I have to keep up with my whole team nonstop. We went through 12 different obstacles, and it was breathtaking. I realize I need to start running more. That was a picture taken somewhere in a distant land. I when I saw that photo and took it photo, it was like the hand of God was right there. So we were in Cuba for 8 days, traveled to, so total 10 days. About God opened great doors there. And I was sharing a message, Pastor Jean and Sister Nan and Cindy was translating. It was a beautiful time. We found out so many believers, they are hungry. They are so hungry that you can just, you know, go for hours, one person. And even there was a rain, and we were in tent the first day. Rain was so enormous and hard, nobody moved. They were just sitting there, and everything they were just putting away, but they said, just keep teaching. We don't know when next time we can have that. It was the attitude, beautiful attitude. So God been opening a lot of doors, And I remember when I became a believer, I said, Lord, I don't know the language, but your spirit do. I don't know anybody anywhere, but you know. He's been opening door. I've been longing to go to Cuba, and God opened door, and I believe we will go again. That was fun. First time for 4 hours on a horseback riding, and my horse name was Lucifer. I said, what in the world? You are there, and he was, you know, Lucifer. So Pastor Gene was joking. He said, the Lucifer have a record. After 20 minutes, he's going to buck you because he's a Lucifer. I said, okay, Lord, this is my first experience for that long time of period. So 4 hour went, and I said, now Lucifer is resurrected. And Gene said, call him Lazarus. So Lucifer became a Lazarus. We had a successful time over there. It was a blessing. And everything went great. And I have a couple of, I think I got a couple of minutes. So I will share. These are the people over there. Beautiful, hungry. We went to so many places. I can't wait for a little bit to cool off, to go there. And there are so many stories. I share the story. I said, in Texas, it's appropriate to talk about barbecue. In Cuba, it's appropriate to talk about mango. It's everywhere. They smell good, taste good, found everywhere, even everywhere you can even pick them up. So I gave the challenge to the Cuban people. I said, be a mango for Jesus in Cuba. They said, what do you mean by it? I said, they found everywhere in the whole country. They smell good. You can even just, you know, like a barbecue smell. You cannot deny. I said, be a mango for Jesus in Cuba. So they said, you are the mango in Cuba. So they called me Cuba Mango. So, so, yeah, she was 84 and she said, you are Cuban Mango. Anyways, it was a beautiful trip. So I will ask you to continue to keep praying for Pakistan. God is doing great things. And I will be going back again in the first week of August. After from here, I go to Erie, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, and somewhere else I forgot. I'm having a some timer. So pray for all those journey. And again, thank you, sir, for the wonderful opportunity, and I am 52 seconds late. God bless you all.